All right, friends, we're going to continue in worship with the reading of the scripture. I'll be reading from Exodus 20, verses 1 through 7. The words can be found on the screen above. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquities of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. God, we love you and thank you for this time of worship together. We thank you for this weekend, for Birthday of America, for all our many blessings and freedoms that we experience. Lord, may we find our ultimate freedom in you and your love that you have for each one of us and for the world that you created. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be in a series called No Other Gods, which invites us to look at what competes with God for first place in our hearts, loyalties, resources, and public witness. This series is actually came out of the General Commission of Race and Religion of the United Methodist Church. So imagine someone walking into your home and rearranging all of your family photos. The photos that you find hanging on your wall are taken down. Your family photos are moved to a corner shelf. Your friends are placed behind decorative items. The people you love most are still present, but they are no longer central and visible. That's often how idolatry works. We don't always remove God from our lives, but we simply move God from the center. Tim Keller, in his book Counterfeit God, says this of idolatry. He says, an idol is anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, and anything that you seek to give what only God can give. In Exodus 20, before God says, you shall have no other gods before me, God reminds Israel that I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. The commandments begin with liberation. God isn't demanding loyalty from strangers, but God is inviting faithfulness from people who have already been consecrated, rescued, and freed. God begins with grace before giving the commandment. It's based out of relationship, not control. And so, as we think about our life, what is the first thing you reach for when life falls apart? When the diagnosis comes, when the relationship breaks, when the future feels uncertain, what is the first thing you reach for? What is the first thing you run to? Yesterday, we celebrated the 4th of July, marking the adoption of the Declaration of Independence in the United States. The Declaration is more than a document that was signed in 1976. It was a commitment to build a nation on the foundation of natural rights and God-given freedom, signaling the birth of a nation founded on the principles of liberty and self-governance. Many of the founders were deeply influenced by Judeo-Christian principles, the idea that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with rights echoed in the biblical teaching that all human beings are made in the image of God. The spiritual foundation helped shape a republic that valued the dignity of the individual, the rule of law, and the importance of personal responsibility. For Christians, 4th of July carries profound significance, not only as a commemoration of national freedom, but also an opportunity to reflect on the spiritual dimensions of liberty, God's providence, and the responsibility of living as faithful citizens in a free society. It invites us to consider how the principles of freedom, justice, and human dignity align with biblical truths and how they honor God in the context of our national identity. In Exodus 20:1 through 7, it's at the foot of Mount Sinai where the Israelites have just been led out of Egypt by Moses. The Israelites had been wandering in the wilderness for some time, and they finally arrived at the mountain where God would give them the Ten Commandments. Moses is at the forefront of the scene, standing before God as the mediator between them and God. I'd much rather hear that voice than the one, last week we were the guy with the blood and Maybeth here and doing well, so we're excited about that. But this is a much nicer voice than that one, guys. Yeah. Okay. Moses is at the forefront of the scene, standing before God as mediator. The commandments that God speaks to Moses is based out of his grace and his great love for the Israelites as they've been delivered from the Egyptians. Friends, in a world where idolatry can manifest in various forms like materialism, career pursuits, or even a political party, these commandments that God gives to Moses and to the Israelites remind us to prioritize what is sacred and holy. Come back, Huck. It requires us to be attentive to what and where we are placing our attention. It requires putting God above all other things in our life and then not allowing anything or anyone else to take place as the ultimate priority. And these commandments are not merely a list of do's and don'ts, but rather a roadmap to a fulfilling and purposeful existence, acknowledging God in our life and the power that God holds over all creation. And so the 4th of July prompts us to consider the deeper meaning of freedom in the framework of our relationship with Christ. The Bible speaks of a greater freedom found in Christ. It says in John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The spiritual freedom from sin and death provides a lens through which Christians can view earthly freedoms. In Galatians 5:13, the Apostle Paul reminds believers to use your freedom to serve one another in love. And so, as we celebrate freedom, it's a call to stewardship, using the liberties afforded by a free nation to advance God's kingdom by advocating for justice, protecting the vulnerable, and sharing the gospel. The chance to celebrate God's gift of freedom and commit to share and to be a steward of the liberties we enjoy. So we're now 250 years into this nation as a free country. This freedom comes with responsibilities. The founding fathers envisioned a nation where citizens could exercise their faith freely through relationship and not through control. And I think we've gotten a lot right over the 250 years. We have many successes, many freedoms that give opportunities to every single person who desires to create, to succeed, to worship, to pray, to explore. We have freedom. But I think we also have some work to do as a nation if we're going to be that place where all men and women are created equal and endowed by their Creator with rights echoed in biblical teaching that all humans are made in the image of God. We've gotten a lot right, but we have a lot of work to do as we live into the freedom that God gives us. It makes me think of a team that wins a game. And during that post-game interview, the player says, "We're going to take some time and we're going to celebrate this victory. We're going to celebrate this win. We're going to celebrate all that we have accomplished today. And but then we're going to look at the film. We're going to see where we need to improve, make some adjustments, and do better next time. We can do better. Yesterday, we celebrated 250 years. Today, we're continuing to strive and put our focus on learning and loving more like Jesus, who sets us free. America's future, like its past, will depend on courage, convictions, and prayers of its people seeking to love God with the greatest commandment of all, loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving others as ourself. May we live in to our relationship with God, who loves us, who sets us free, to share his love with the world around us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we do indeed thank you. We thank you for the ways in which you're at work in our life and in our community and in our church and in our world. God, as you have given us ultimate freedom and the freedom that we live in here, may we share our relationship with you and with others in love, not in a controlling way, but in a way that sets people free to be the people you have called them to be, to live into that image. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this church, for the ways it serves our community and beyond. Be with us in this season. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.